Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by one of our favorite guests. He is a former senior special agent in the Immigration and Naturalization Services. These days, an outsized contributor to the public policy debate about immigration policy. As a senior fellow at Californians for Population Stabilization, you can hear him on his own radio program, the Michael Cutler Hour on Blog Talk Radio, Friday evenings. He's also a frequent contributor to outlets like Front Page Magazine. We're always delighted to have him with us. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank.
Several of the things that you've been writing about recently caught my eye, Michael, and I would like to go through them quickly. You have a provocatively titled piece at Front Page entitled Courting Disaster. The Supreme Court decides against Homeland Security. Talk about what you're referring to there and why it should be of concern to all of us.
Well, you know, when the president was campaigning, he said that he was going to keep people out of the United States who couldn't be vetted. He said, we're going to find out what the hell is going on before we let them in. And under a particular statute of the Immigration Act, Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182F, as in Frank, in point of fact, it states simply that the president, at his own discretion, may prevent the entry of any alien or class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants that he deems against the best interests of the United States, to paraphrase that section of law, and that the suspension of admission of those aliens can last as long as he deems necessary or appropriate. Jimmy Carter used it when Iran overran our embassy in Tehran. It's been used at other occasions. There's nothing controversial. So understand that aliens have no inherent right to enter the United States, just as a stranger has no inherent right to enter your house. Very reasonable. This is something recognized under international law. American citizens can never be turned away. Aliens certainly can be. And even the media is complicit because they've described this executive order that the president promulgated as a travel ban of six Muslim-majority countries. Initially, it was seven. He cut it down to six, trying to comply with the court decisions, lower court. The courts come along, the Supreme Court, and says, no, not so fast. And by the way, if you look at the actual title, it doesn't say travel ban, and it doesn't speak about religion. This is an artifice of the courts and of the media. The title is crystal clear. Protecting the nation from foreign terrorist entry into the United States. It is now described widely as a travel ban. Why aren't they using the actual name?
Yeah. And more to the point, as you say, the president has the authority to do this. The statutes are pretty clear, but inherent in his constitutional power, right, as a commander-in-chief, it's there too. Talk about what the Supreme Court has done now twice in terms of its actions that bear on all of this.
Well, so the Supreme Court turned around and said, well, not so fast. If these aliens have any kind of a bona fide, quote unquote, relationship with persons or entities in the United States, you can't do this. By the way, they say persons, not American citizens. But all of this is beside the point. This is about keeping terrorists out. Terrorists have family members. In fact, how often have we seen that families as a group are involved in terrorism? Think about what happened at San Bernardino. The Supreme Court said fiancés cannot be kept out. Well, wasn't it the fiancé who was the mastermind, if you will, of that bloodshed in San Bernardino? Think about the Tsarnaev brothers. But now the other part of it that I want to address, entities include employers, schools in terms of their students, and also people that are coming here to give lectures can't be prevented from entering. And then they talk about it tips towards the balance of national security. The Supreme Court said that if the person has no such relationship, it tips. National security isn't the back and forth, we'll get a wiffle and waffle and decide what the priority is. National security, you would think, is always the priority.
Indeed, especially since we know that these guys, are, in some cases at least, have the express purpose of killing us once they get here.
And by the way, if you look at the schools, you know, I testified at that hearing 6 months after 9/11 when Muhammad Atta and Marwan al-Sheikh, and Atta was the ringleader of 9/11, were given authorization to attend school in the United States, specifically flight school. So the idea that schools and their foreign students are more important than America's national security and the lives of Americans. There are thousands of foreign students in the United States who've gone missing.
Yeah, indeed. Overstaying their visas and the like. It's crazy, Michael. Let me turn to one other thing that's related to this in terms of the presence in our country and the activities in America of terrorists. And that is, you've pointed to a case in one of your recent front page pieces of an Ohio, well, Sharia supremacist from Somalia by the name of Abdurrahman Sheikh Mohammed, who was engaged in material support for terrorism. I've been very worried for a long time about this practice that is performed under the guise of something called zakat by Muslims. It's one of the five pillars of their faith. They're supposed to make charitable contributions, a substantial portion of which under Sharia is supposed to go to jihad and the people who perpetrate it. What are we doing about material support as an important ingredient of our security?
Well, I would hope that the Trump administration is addressing it, because providing material support to a terrorist organization is the grounds for criminal prosecution with very heavy penalties. If you want to go back to that young man that was being charged now, the Somalian, here again we come back to family. His brother went overseas to fight on the side of al-Nusra Front, which is a spinoff of al-Qaeda. He went to join him, concealing his identities. But here's what's interesting. His brother said to him, he was living here since he was 2 years old, get your citizenship. You know, he was 21 years old, thereabouts, 20 years old. Get your citizenship, because once you get the U.S. passport, it facilitates your travel around the world, enabling you to enter other countries easily. So he became a citizen, traveled to Greece, supposedly was going to travel to Greece, didn't go to Greece, headed to Syria, but they sent him back here specifically to kill uniformed members of our government, meaning law enforcement and the military. And by the way, we have to come back to the Enlist Act, which would put illegal aliens on military bases so they would be given a pathway to a green card. We need to understand that people who come here from other countries need to be vetted carefully. If we can't vet them, the president is right. If you don't know who you're admitting into your home, you open up the door literally and figuratively to a nightmare. When America is unable to vet people, we open up America to the potential of terrorist attacks. We've seen it around the world. We've seen it here.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Michael Cutler is our guest. We're talking with him about his area of specialization, his long, long service to our country in connection with immigration policy. You've written positively about Raul Labrador's bill in the House of Representatives, Congressman Labrador from Idaho, entitled Refugee Program Integrity Restoration Act, H.R. 2826. What's that legislation about? Why is it needed, Michael?
Well, it's needed because it addresses the issue of immigration fraud and the idea that, for example, if someone is given refugee status and then they voluntarily go back to the country from whence they came because they claimed that their lives were at risk, unless there's been regime change, clearly they lied. But they need to extend this to also include political asylum, not just refugees. The flip side is political asylum, because that's precisely what the Tsarnaev family did. They came to America with visas, claimed political asylum, that they could not go back to Russia. And then as soon as we gave them political asylum, they voluntarily went back to Russia, which makes a prima facie case of immigration fraud. By the way, the 9/11 Commission, to which I provided testimony, made it clear that immigration fraud and visa fraud were the key entry and embedding tactics of the terrorists. So I think that Raul Labrador is on the right track. This legislation that he's trying to get passed should be supported. They don't have all the votes they need yet, so please reach out to your congressman. You can see the article on frontpagemag.com.
We will encourage that amendment. Michael Cutler, thank you for your expertise in all these matters. At Californians for Population Stabilization, check him out at Front Page Magazine, as well as at his own website, The Social Contract. Thank you, Michael. We'll talk with you again soon. We'll talk with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.